Hello, peeps. Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Monday, the 4th of May. I saw Steve Williamson about 4 o'clock this morning. I was awake, or 4, whatever it was. Steve tweeting, "May the 4th be with you." I'm not sure what you're meant to do. My son said that to me as well. What are you meant to say to him? Thanks very much. Don't really know. Exchanged a couple of messages with Steve, the early bird. Steve, we're up, see? You get out of it what you put in, son. Up early, functioning. Like to see it. Right, where are we at? What are we talking about today? Don't know. Do make me laugh, people, honestly. Do make me laugh. It's a good way to flush old Twitter, is to start having a pop at people about things. Soon, once they soon leave, it's good. That's mixed reviews again to my sort of weekend theme of the podcasts. And then ironically, somebody's told me today that Piers is needing a test, isn't he? Anyway, let's hope that's all right. Don't wish this on anybody. Right, life doesn't need to be an exam all the time, does it? Doesn't need to be. Everything mustn't have to be a pass or a fail. Can be progress and no progress, can't it? Yes, it can. Right, where are we? I mentioned people wanted topics yesterday. Quite a good question yesterday. Can't remember who sent it. Can't remember what medium it came in on. But the question was, if I was starting now, where would I start? And I'm not a lie. I'm not making this up. I find it quite hard to answer. I'm not that good at going back. I'm very much a person who looks forward. And indeed, we've been doing some training and Dave, who's been helping me, been discussing it with Dave. He's kept trying to get me to think back pretty much exactly as that. When I'm talking to people, remember what I was then. And, I've said on this podcast, you're me in 2006-7, not me in 2020. But to actually rewind myself back there to that time and think, what would I do? I'm not sure I'd do a lot different, I'll be honest. I mean, I've done this now 7 days a week for over 13 years. I've never missed a day. I've been in hospital, not missed a day. Sam's been in hospital, I didn't miss a day. Genuinely, I've never missed a day. I've never got up and thought, I don't want to do that today, but I've never not. And even in this lockdown period, there has not been a single day. I think the last football match was Turkey, 17th of March. There hasn't been a single day in that period since then that I haven't opened a football sheet. Sad, I know. It is sad, but I do enjoy it. I remember talking to Shazwad and saying, "I'll give it up." And she said, "You'll never give it up because you love it." And I do love it. But the one thing I know, going back to the question, what would I do if I was starting now? The one thing I know, and I've covered this a few times, I think I have, maybe I haven't, but I think I have, is that I knew what I wanted to do. I had a plan. I had a plan in my head, goals I wanted to achieve. Only basic goals. They were mostly monetary. I didn't go into the goal setting in the levels that we do now. And I sort of had half a plan of how I was going to go about it. And I'd sat and discussed that with Sam, and here we are. I think the frustration for me, again, I think, I'm going to repeat myself a lot today, is that people fluster about at this and think it's easy. And you won't see me. I don't think you'll ever find me getting involved in a Twitter spat on gambling or discussions in general on gambling, because I avoid it like the plague. Or politics for that matter, although they can tempt me in occasionally on that one, because I would just lose my shit very quickly. There's the boys who do stats bets, value bets. I sort of look at them sometimes admirably, thinking they're banging the drum about single stats and stat sheets, which many people subscribe and use to, from what I believe. I used to just follow everything on Twitter. If somebody followed me, I thought it was the courtesy to follow them back, and some of the shit that used to come through. And I think, I can't remember, somebody said, "But you follow," and I sort of went through and had a bit of a purge. I'm never really up with what's Twitter etiquette for following or following back. Whether you seem to be a bit of a twat if you don't follow people, I don't know. I do look at these guys and think, fair play, because they are calling out what is basic. It's to think that you can win at this game using simple stats like, oh, they scored in 4 of their last 5 games, first half goal, and to think that that is a way to make money is absolutely, well, it's bordering mental, to be honest. It is absolutely bordering mental to think that a bookmaker hasn't got that factored into anything, and that you found it miraculously and nobody else has seen it. You do need to go and give your head a wobble. But you get on Twitter and people, you know, the guys I talk about pull it up, and then other people defend it. And I think it's probably a case of just trying to forget they're losing bets. I don't know. But to think that that is a sustainable way forward is I mean, it is mental. And then you've got the other end. You've got people telling you you can't win at all. And I find that equally irritating and annoying. And I'd lose my shit. And then you've got people who post things that there's no logic, and I lose my shit with that. So I stay out of it altogether. I've known people, as I've said before, people slag me off on there. Fine. I've had numerous emails. This doesn't work. That doesn't work. Fine. It is knowing what you want to do. I say those stats, they're basic, they're immature, it's just nonsense to think that you can win doing that. But then I say you can with statistics, but my view may be different to other people, because I think everything is a statistic. That's how I look at it. I think everything that I use in effect becomes a statistic. So the league table to me isn't a league table, it's a table of statistics. The number of games played is a statistic. Number of goals scored is a statistic. So I use that to do a calculation. XG that people use, it's a statistic. It's a statistic I'm not a fan of, but other people use it. It's a statistic. Shots on target, statistic. A database of market prices, to me, I consider it statistics. I've built up a data set, statistics taken from Betfair or wherever, Pinnacle, whatever it may be. So it always comes back to me the nature of the game and a sort of the human being approach to it. I struggle with this thinking it's easy. It is a grind. It is an absolute grind. And people don't want that. Most people look money first, see it as easy, then they get angry and disappointed if they don't win. It's everybody else's fault, it's my fault. You know, lay the draw. I started an ultimate system, I was 5 points down after October, I've had 20 load of old shit. So rather than analyse themselves, they then repeat that process with something else and continue to do so and keep going and keep going. And there's a great denial, isn't there, of people who sit there, you know, you go in. That's why I'm not a fan of chat groups, forums, anything, because I just think mostly they're just full of bollocks. And who's actually standing there going, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm winning, blah, 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 and this is what I'm doing, actually I'm doing my bollocks. It just doesn't really happen. So there's very little understanding to me, and mine has grown exponentially over the 13 years of what people are trying to do. And what may be relevant. And I was very much a match odds man and moved into other markets. And I think you've got to know, you know, originally, if I was sitting down now saying, right, I want to do this, what do I want to do? Are you a trader, straight better? How much time do you have? How risk averse are you? Is there liquid in the leagues and markets you want to trade? How's your record keeping? How do you react to losses? Do you chase losses? Do you aim for target profits every day, which is also nonsense in my opinion? All these things need answering and looking at before a bet's even placed. That's my opinion. Before you even place a bet. I can't believe how quickly people want to bet. You know, I've had people sat in a seminar and you're trying to teach them something and they're betting on the horses and the football in the seminar while you're there. And I could say, oh, I've had a look at Liverpool Burnley today and I make Liverpool value. They open it, but they don't want to listen to what I'm saying. Oh, there's a bet, Liverpool, I'll back Liverpool today. I find it absolutely flipping mad. That's the bit, that's the first bit. It's doing the, you know, what I'd call the foundations of the house. You've got to go out and you know, if you were opening a shop or starting a business, you are going to do some form of due diligence into how you're going to do that. Why is this any different? Why? What is it? Why do you think that this should be any different? It's a question that rattles around in my head when I talk to people all the time. And then from the betting side, once you've answered that, the betting side, you've got to have some sort of structure and strategy. And for me, it's learning a market inside out. I did lay the draw for 3 years. People say they don't believe me. That's fine. You can believe what you fucking like. It doesn't bother me. It's learn a mark. That's what I did. So I knew pretty much any game, I knew when a goal went in, what was going to happen to the price. Pretty much within the minute. That market has changed substantially over the years, and things do. But learn it inside out. Learn one market. If I was starting now, and I've said this to guys I've been talking to over this lockdown period, I would start probably in the first half goal market. The over one and a half market, not the first half goal, sorry. The over one and a half market. First, I was going to say, you get the typical thing you'll get people is they're failing to win in, say, the first half goal market. You know, I quite often, how do you win in the first half goal? I had an email yesterday. When do you enter? What do you do? Why? What were your exact movements for that Belarus game? What do you do? What's it? Fuck off. Why should I tell you exactly what I'm doing? Go and learn it. People want it given. And so they're failing the first half, can't make it work, first half goal market. So rather than looking at why they don't make it work, they then go into the second half goal market and think, well, I'll do that one. So if you couldn't win in the first half goal market, what makes you think you're going to win in the second half goal market? Why couldn't you win in the first half goal market? What was it? Was it prices, strike rate, entry point, match selection? What was it that made you fail? You learn from your losses. But people don't just, I can't win there, shift along. I don't mean that, don't ask me what I'm doing in a way, but it's just lazy, isn't it? You know, email, how did you win that? What did you do? I did a load of work before that game, modelled the game, had an idea, strategy, exactly what I was going to do. And this is a league I've never bet in. I'm really just proving to myself over time whether my numbers, I can apply the approaches to other leagues. I know nothing about the Vodka League. I know nothing about Belarusian football, other than hearing of Barté, and I think they might have beaten Arsenal. I can't remember. I've just got a feeling they did, but that's about it. That's where my knowledge of it ends. This guy, you know, what did you do there? How did you win that? What? When did you enter? What did you enter? Why did you enter? What's that? Blah, blah, blah. There. Is that something I really should be sharing via email with one person? I don't know. I just look at it and think, well, it's all, what do you want me to say? That game, that's one game that I've modelled, gone in at that point there. I might do something else in a different game. What do you actually learn from that? So my advice is to learn the market inside out. And as I say, I did lay the draw. If I was starting now, I'd do over one and a half. Why? Because it can be profitable. Two, it's got a high strike rate. And that's good for morale. Like when I did lay the draw, you were winning 85-90% of the time. So that gives you confidence. Yes, you'd have the odd loss, but I was trading it so you could control it. So you're getting loads and loads of wins or break evens and not doing your bollocks. You know, you go into something straight betting, and this again is where you've got to decide what you want to do, and there's a run of 15 losers. How can you cope with that? We're trading it, obviously you can control it a lot more. So that's what I would probably start with if I was doing it now, and I'd learn it. I'd know what goes when I was going to enter. I'd know what happens to the price when a goal goes in at different times, depending on what the opening odds were. I'd have my decisions made about whether I was going to scratch or green, all those things, and I would learn it, because if I convince myself I can win in that market, I can take it to another market and do that. But as I say, thinking, oh, I lost in the first half goal, I'll go, I see Dio does well second half goals, I'll try that. Oh, Psykov does late goals, I'll try that. Oh, X does that. I don't get that at all. I just don't get any of it. But as I say, we're all different. You've got to, but that, to answer the question, if it was me, I would be equipping myself before I even had a bet, knowing exactly what I was going to do. And I'm a great market watcher. I like watching markets. I like watching the Betfair interface and seeing what happens. And you learn a lot just from that, because you know what the price is going to set to. If Dortmund kick off at 1.19, what price are they going to be at 25 minutes? What's going to happen to that price if a goal goes in on 30 minutes? I pretty much know all that in my head before the game's even started. So I'm not sitting there thinking, what should I do now? I thought that would reset a bit lower than that. What do I do? So you've got half an idea of what profit you're going to make on different things. And I need to have logic. For me, it's all about logic. And I find logic in solid data. That's what I use. I find logic in modelling. I don't find logic in saying, for example, I'm not going to bet in January. Why not? You know, this is an exact conversation I've had with guys over this. Why not? It's the fixture list last January is probably completely different to this January. The one thing that is true is, or does hold up. If a team was priced 1.9 last January, the market made it a certain price at 1.9, and if they're priced 1.9 a different team this, then the market's made it that. Is there value in that? Is there somewhere I can exploit that happening or that occasion? That's more what I look like rather than oh, I won't bet in January because it lost 4 points the last 2 Januaries. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, yeah, you know, there's lots of stuff I look at and just think that's no logic to me. But again, if people are using it and winning and that's what they want to do, that's fine. That's why I don't enter into arguments about it. It's not for me. Basically, it's none of my business to poke my fucking nose in. That's the bottom line. I can't believe, and I've said this, how nosy people are. I can't believe people want to butt their nose into other people's business. And then they go, and they sort of use the, oh, it's only for debating purposes of discussion. No, it's not. You're being fucking nosy, and you know you are. You're being nosy, normally trying to catch somebody out. Just fucking get on with what you're doing. Why do you have to know the ins and outs of everybody else's business? I'm not going on Peter Webb, what do you do, what do you do, what do you do? Or whoever else, what do you do, what do you do? Good luck to you, get on with it. Fucking I mind my own business. That's another reason why I don't do it. It drives me mad. I love seeing out to just for the topic of debate, or just to ask this. No, you're not, you're being fucking nosy. Just say it what it is. I want to know how you do that, because I'm fucking nosy. I want to know why you do that, because I want to poke my nose into it. It's fuck all to do with me, but I want to poke my nose in because I feel it's my right to. Well, crack on. And people do that to me, I've got the answer. Fuck off. There you go. But that leads to rows, doesn't it? And leads to arguments. Anyway, there you go. So, you know, where was I? I lost myself then in a little rant, didn't I? So my main advice would be, one, to have a plan in the first place, and two, to learn one market and learn it inside out. And I'll give you an example that I know off the top of my head, as do others now, that winning in the 1.5 market, over 1.5, very difficult with short price favourites. It's very difficult with strong home favourites. It's really hard. But the clueless punter, the guy there, you know, even tipsters, they'll tip these up because they know they've got a high strike rate. We know that Bayern Munich, for example, in Bundesliga score a load of goals. Always over 1.5. Back Bayern Munich over 1.5. Always scoring. They may well do. They stuff everybody. But can you make money doing it? And that is the key to it. Can you make money? You can win a bet. Can you make money doing it over time? And I'll give you a little one. I'll take Augsburg over Bayern Munich over 1.5 any Saturday going. And that, you know, I said with my sheets when I show them, I'm very conscious of showing my sheets and making videos and things, because in the wrong hands, they're just as dangerous as they are good. And that is an absolute fact. You know, you take all the stats that I've given over the last 6-7 weeks, the whole aim of these podcasts, keep people uplifted, try and keep you going, football will come back. And mainly with the stats I've been given it, try and get you to think about things slightly differently. And admittedly, people look at what I do and go, they don't like it. That's absolutely fine. But my main aim with these has been try and just look at things a little bit differently. Where there'll have been people who write them down, they'll have got 5 or 6 of them go, that's a system for life. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do those. I can assure you that that's probably doomed for failure. So there we go. One of these pods this is, where I can't really remember all of what I just said, but hopefully it made some sense. Should have written a script. And looking at that, we're trying to do some training modules and webinars for the site. We're trying to open something I wanted to do properly, and time is allowing it now to get it done. A proper sort of academy type thing. And we did a free webinar a while back, and we got some ideas of what people want to see. But if anybody's got anything, that, you know, we're looking to develop learning modules, what would you like? And ask, really, it is, and Dave sort of led me down this path, it's what question do you want answered? If you broke it into questions, what single question do you want answered? Rather than how do I win, you know, what is the particular question here that you want to try and answer? What is it that you are, how do you, for example, a question would be how, you know, one Dave sort of them, how do you take data from Ultimate or another source and look at it in a non-standard way to turn it into something you would bet? What sort of question is it that you would want answered? And we've got some that we're going to answer and do. But anything that you think that, let me know, because ultimately that's for you. I'm going to keep doing what I do, and those areas are for you guys, and we're going to make some webinars. But, you know, that's another thing. How do you want it delivered? How do you want it on site? I don't learn by watching videos. I find it really difficult. You know, I'm making videos and then I actually don't learn by watching them. I glaze over within 2 or 3 minutes. We all learn differently. And it is so important. You know, for me, I think it's massively important to understand how you learn. I think it's one of the big things that people learn. One of the reasons I don't stick or use any software is that they nearly all provide videos to learn with. So BetAngel, it's all about videos. Anything else that I've looked at, all about videos. Even when we did Soccer Statostique, can you make some videos? I glaze over after 2 or 3 minutes. You know, I sit there, I don't want to watch. Greats respect him. I don't want to watch 5 hours of BetAngel videos. I don't learn that way. You know, we learn in four ways. We learn visually, pictures, images, videos. We learn orally, sound, music. As an example, when I revised for my O-levels and A-levels, I used to record things onto tape. So I would speak it. So I would learn as I was speaking it. And then I would play it back to myself on my Walkman walking the dog. So it sort of was going into me when I was making the tape. And then I was sort of banging it home when I was walking the dog a bit more. But that's still not my best way of learning. We learn verbally, so we do learn, you know, you can learn by talking to people and telling things. And we learn physically, kinesthetically. That's how I learn. I learn by doing things. In essence, if you learn kinesthetically, you're a doer. I am definitely a doer. So for me to learn to use a trading software, the best way for me to learn it would be to sit with somebody. And I would be doing it while they're talking in my ear, telling me what to do. So, but as long as I was doing it, watching them do it makes no interest to me whatsoever, just doesn't go in. But if I was doing it, I'll click that, then you want to click that, then it would start to go in. And I think it's really important for me that people learn how they learn, what is the best way. So it may be that people say, actually, in videos aren't good to me. Can we have some PDFs because we want to read it? Or can you do just some audios that we can almost audible, like we could be walking the dog and listen to? Because I think, you know, really important that that those sort of things are looked at. But as I say, for me, it is doing. You know, when I learnt golf, I never had golf lessons. Never had a golf lesson in my life. I learnt golf by doing. Because somebody telling me, standing there just going, do the old that, this is what we want to do. Again, I just glaze over. So for me, it was, what do you want to do? I want to learn how to hit it low. I'd just go out with a bag of balls and I'd stand there and think, right, what are the basics I need here? I need to obviously de-loft it. I need to perhaps be ahead of the ball a bit. So I would then just hit balls until I could flight it down, and I'd get a feeling, oh, I can feel how I do that now, and that's how I do it. But you know, I'm probably just waffling and making this long-winded. I just think it's so important. It's all very well to say produce a video. Is the video the best way that person's going to learn? And I think you need to know how you learn. And I'm changing. I'm trying to change because I realise the way I learn by doing, it makes everything long-winded. It makes me give up on things like software because I just can't be bothered to watch the videos because they just do nothing for me. So I'm trying to change, and that's where books like The Slight Edge come in, you know, and try and encourage you to do things that you maybe wouldn't do and you're not comfortable with. I'm getting better at it, but it's a long road for me to sit there and one trust software full stop, when I've seen somebody lose nearly 80 grand on one bet where Betfair went wrong, and to watch the process to do that. You know, I'd much rather say to Alistair, whoever, Chris, see your spreadsheet, do that for me. I'd much rather they do it just so I've got something I can use and do, play with at the end. But yeah, I'll get better at it. So yeah, hopefully you got something out of that general waffle. On the book of the day now follows on from that. It's The Art of Statistics by David Spiegelhalter. Good book. It's not really betting related, but societal statistics. But it's really informative, and whatever level you're at, it'll give you a better understanding of statistics. It isn't for everyone, I'm well aware of that, but that sort of stuff interests me. I do like stuff like that. So, The Art of Statistics by David Spiegelhalter. Good book. I really enjoyed it, but as I say, it won't be for everybody. Joke of the day. I think this was Matty White. I can't remember, but I think it was you, Matty. two fish in their tank. One says to the other, how do you drive this thing? Yes, I like it. I like it. It's a good one. Joke of the day, Matty. And we had a request, a readout request. We're going to FTS Radio again. Happy 17th anniversary. And the other thing, I don't know his name. I only know his Twitter handle, Strudel Bopper. Strudel Bopper is married to Emma, and they celebrate 17 years of marriage today. So congratulations. Have a great day today. Make the most of it. Spoil each other as much as the situation allows you to. Yeah, have a good day. Congrats. 17 years is no mean feat. I'm a strong believer in marriage, and I think it's great that that people stay married for a long time. I like it. Recipes did have a laugh yesterday, didn't we? We had a laugh yesterday. Sam made the old breadless BLTs for lunch, and I just put a little picture of Winston sniffing around saying, this is, and all out they came, the old uneducated all come out, what's that abomination, how can you not have it with bread? It made my day. I enjoyed it. Turned into good fun. Tell you, it's the way forward. Get your lettuce, a bit of avocado, bit of mayonnaise, get your tomato in there, get your bacon in there, another lettuce leaf on top. You don't need the bread. It's flipping beautiful. Right, I've got one for you today. I'm going to give you a quick chicken curry. Really, really quick. You can make this on one baking tray. Literally take you less than an hour to make a lovely, lovely little chicken curry. Right, we're going to get the chicken first. We want a couple of chicken breasts cut into about inch pieces, 2 tablespoons of Greek yogurt, tablespoon of olive oil, tablespoon of lemon juice, couple of garlic, minced garlics, and then your spices. Teaspoon of turmeric, teaspoon of paprika, teaspoon of garam masala, 1/2 teaspoon of cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of dried ginger, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Mix all that ingredients together and get the chicken in it so it's covered, and let that marinate for 10-15 minutes. Doesn't need to go in the fridge because you want it room temperature to cook. So just take the chicken out of the fridge, cut it up, throw all that other ingredients on top, mix it all up, so your chicken's marinating for 10-15 minutes. While that is doing that, get... we're going to make a little veggie aloo gobi to go with it. So we want some cauliflower, again a bit more garlic, some a potato diced into sort of inch cubes. So chop the cauliflower up into small pieces, potato into diced cubes, and then we're going to spice that up. So in that we're going to put the cauliflower and the potato in a bowl, drizzle of olive oil and some salt, and then add a teaspoon of curry powder, teaspoon of coriander, 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric, 1/2 teaspoon of cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of ginger. Mix all that round. Get that on a baking tray in the oven for 15 minutes. So if you want to get that ready and whack that in while the chicken's marinating, either way, get that in there. After 15 minutes, take it out, toss it round, move it up to one end of the baking tray. Add your chicken, marinated chicken on, and get some red onion and peas and mix through the cauliflower and potatoes. So we're just vegging that up a little bit, that aloo gobi. Put all that back in the oven for about another 15-20 minutes, and you have got an absolute beautiful little tandoori chicken with a veggie aloo gobi. Serve it with some rice or flatbread. There you are, done. All on one tray in the oven. Can't go wrong. You may want to turn the chicken, you know, halfway through its 15-20 minute cooking time. You may just want to turn it and give it a toss round. But that's it. Absolutely simple. Remove and serve. Job done. There you are. Can't make it any easier for you. There. What are we better at? Are we better at talking how we started or recipes? Who knows? Stat of the day. This is another one. This might help people understand odds better. Of the big six teams in the Premier League, and forgetting what that league table looks like, because I know people say, well, Tottenham aren't big six, Sheffield United, they're above them. Taking the understood big six over the last few years, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, United, Tottenham and Arsenal. The best team to back short odds on over the last 3 years. So let's say less than 1.5. You're going to back any of those teams at home, less than 1.5. Which one is the most profitable? Where would you make your money? Dun, dun, dun. It's the old Gooners. arguably the worst record overall in of those six sides over the last 3 years, but they are the ones that produced the profit. Only failed to win twice in 25 matches, priced at home less than 1.5 in the last three seasons. 1.5 or lower. And what a logical reason for that? Because they have the worst record, they tend to be priced a bit bigger than the other team. So when Liverpool played Bournemouth this season, Liverpool were 1.23, Arsenal were 1.39. Liverpool, Arsenal, perceived and by the league table, magnificently different, but they're both going to beat Bournemouth. And that's really where the money is, and they actually make a half decent return back in Arsenal at home, less than 1.5, much better than any of the other six sides. I think Chelsea may be next, I can't remember, or it may be Liverpool next, because Liverpool obviously have had a fantastic run, but Arsenal are the best team. So there you go, stat of the day, another way to look at things. And talking to Gooners, the old Gooners, my mates, the old Gooners, my old chums. Poker last night, my early battle was with Guernsey Gooner. You've got to be a bit more patient, son. You're just throwing it in all hands. Relax, wait for some decent hands. You're like a kamikaze. I finished third last night, in the money again. Starting to get consistently in the money now, but horrible beat. Matt Stevens. Matt Stevens won again. Matt's record in this poker tournament, he's finished third, first. And we are now having a steward's inquiry. He beat me with a horrible river card. I was ahead. And he just draws the one card that gives him the straight. It was horrific. He's lucky. He's not good. He's just bloody lucky. To be fair, I did have my own element of luck. I took Schmidt out last night with a ridiculous... bit of luck. I thought he was at it. I was in the blind, so I'd put my money in. Apologies for those who don't understand poker terminology. And he was coming round last to act, and he just put all his chips in. I thought, he's having me here. He's flipping at it, just trying to steal my blinds. And I had an ace, so I called him. And I think he turned over. I can't remember. I think it was Jack Schmidt, wasn't it? And I'm banged to rights. He's got me. I'm on the ropes. I'm going down, and four eights came in the middle. So I ended up with quad eights, ace high, where he only had quad eights, jack high. It was a bit sick. You win some, you lose some. But Matt, you are lucky. It's a flipping like a pension fund for you, this. And the new motto of the poker is get Matt. You are starting to see same old faces. SJD made the final table. Simon Dennis again last night. The Italians dropped off. I took him out last night. But it's great fun, and we'll do it all again on Friday. Do come along and join us. It is just good fun. I do appreciate this time people are maybe struggling at 11 quid even. I accept that. But if you for an 11 quid, if you've got it, it's a good couple of hours for most of us. Entertainment. If you're Guernsey Gooner, it's about 2 minutes. All right, I think that's it. I don't genuinely another one of those where Sam may say to me, what did you do on the pod? I say, I haven't really got a clue. Have a lovely, what is it, Monday. Enjoy yourselves, and I will be back with you with more pearls of wisdom tomorrow. Have a think about what you want to do. Have a think about how you learn. Have a think about anything you'd like to see modules on the website, and in what format, videos, PDFs, whatever, and we'll have a look at it in this time. I'll tell you when we get to the football, particularly the ultimate side, well, both ultimate and FDD, but the ultimate side of things going forward, what we've done, it's unbelievable. It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be staggering. I've got everybody working away. Ryan's been brilliant. I've got Chrissy working on projects. I've got Art doing stuff. I've got Alistair. We've got stuff that we are building and going to have that I just think is second to none, honestly. And I know I'm going to say it because I'm biased, but it's just brilliant. The boys are working so hard. I'm cracking the whip and leading them. That's what I do. But no, brilliant. Absolutely can't wait for it all to get going. And it will be this month. You know, we'll have some football this month. It will be on. We've got career starting this week. Big decision in Germany, obviously, to come. I think that'll then pull the Premier League's finger out, maybe. But then you have got Poland, Portugal, etc. MLS, I hear, as well, all starting to come back. So things to look forward to. Reasons to be cheerful. 1, 2, 3. See you tomorrow.